It's coming up to near a year from Cherith and I went to Amsterdam. It was the first time we ever went on one of those city breaks, as they are called. And you know, it was over not very long ago in Rushmere shopping centre, and down one of the side, we'll call it a side street, whatever it is, in the centre there is a travel agent, and there's always up on the window the various deals that are on regarding holidays, sometimes for a full-blown holiday for a week or two, but very often there are quite a lot of city deals that are advertised there, places like Prague and indeed Amsterdam and Berlin and other places you can go to. And as you look at those city breaks and speaking to other individuals, even some in the congregation, we are very aware of how useful they are. They are, in fact, very valuable to people just looking to get away for a couple of days, to be able to de-stress for a wee while, and to not a full-blown holiday, but just to get away for two or three or maybe 4 days. And they are very, very popular indeed. We might also say that looking at some of them, if you happen to be going to book one at the wrong time, they can be quite expensive for just those 2 or 3 or 4 days. And those city breaks are something that perhaps you know all about. They are quite costly and they are invaluable if you need to get away for a few days. And the title of my message tonight is A Free Invaluable City Break. A Free Invaluable City Break. And that brings us to the portions of Scripture that we have read together. Because as we read in Numbers chapter 35 about the cities, we have pictured in those cities one of the most instructive types of Christ to be found anywhere in the Old Testament. The cities that I'm referring to and verse 11 is referring to are known as the cities of refuge. And they were places where a man was to flee to if he in some way had accidentally taken the life of another person. Let's say, for instance, they had been working on some kind of a structure, and due to his maybe negligence or a moment's thoughtlessness, another person had lost their life. Well, then he had to flee. Because there's a person, if you read all the verses in this chapter, who was known as the Avenger of Blood. And they would be hot on his heels. And there were only certain places that this man who'd caused the death of another by accident, there's only certain places where he could go to. And they were known as the cities of refuge. And as you think of that at the very outset tonight, you will notice right through from verse 9 on through the end of this chapter that constantly in verse 26 and verse 32 and in verse 11 and a number of other verses, verse 6 and so on, you're coming across the word flee or fled. And the thought brought before us is that of, well, not just urgency, but extreme urgency. If the man who caused the death of another person in an accident, if he didn't make it to the city, he was in great danger of losing his own life. And therefore, there was, as far as he was concerned, to be no delay in getting to that city. He was not to find a little hiding place along the way that seemed to be secure or secluded for him and to try to conceal himself there. He had to get to one of the cities that was known as the cities of refuge. We read about them over there in Joshua chapter 20, and we'll be looking at them again before the end of this meeting. So as we look tonight at these cities, for the man who had caused another man's death, the refuge in these cities didn't cost him anything. Therefore, they were free. And yet as far as he was concerned for his very existence, they were invaluable. And hence we have the title, A Free, Invaluable City Break. And I want to look at it with you tonight and notice just three things as we consider this city break or these cities. I want you to notice, first of all, here there is possibility. Now, when you look at the cities that were to be called the cities of refuge over there, they're named in detail in Joshua chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. They were, all of them, in a place that would make them very accessible to the people, not only the people round about, but the people within a reasonable distance from there. If you look very carefully at verse 7 and 8, wherever those cities were placed, wherever part of the country, we call him the manslayer because that's what he was. He had killed someone unintentionally. But whatever part of the country he was from, one of these cities was never really very far from him. And God in his wisdom and in divine direction, given the instruction that these cities were to be pointed out, God was then, as he does tonight, considering the individual and the individual's needs. Very interesting that when you look there in Joshua chapter 20, that they were placed on high ground. That shows us something. It shows us that they could be easily seen. And this man who was running along just like a fugitive, and he was fleeing for safety, he did not have to strain his eyes too much, but rather he could say, well, there it is. There's the city that I need to get to, because that is the nearest city of refuge to me. Something quite interesting over there in the book of Deuteronomy, and I'll just read it for you. It's Deuteronomy chapter 19, concerning these cities. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 3. Now, this would be the way from where the people were to the city, especially when they got close to the city. It says, thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit into three parts, that every slayer, that's who we're reading about, the manslayer, that every slayer may flee thither. So we're seeing here there is the possibility of refuge for those who had danger on their heels. The cities were not hard to see. They were not particularly far away. And everyone would have known about them. And the way to the city was a way that was straightforward. In fact, if you read some of the church history regarding these cities, church history records for us that the highway to these cities had to be kept in good order. And there was to be no major obstructions in the way to these cities. Also, a bridge would have been constructed if it was necessary for the individual to get along to where they were. And there even was, apparently, indicators pointing the man who was now filled with fear and apprehension, pointing him to the city that would be a refuge for him. In other words, every single aid that you can think of was afforded to the manslayer as he made his way to the city. Everything was set up in order that he might get to that city. What a possibility lay before him. He knew who was behind him. The avenger of blood with a sword in his hand. And he knew he had to get to the city of refuge if he was to be safe. Everything was set up. The Bible tells us concerning man and his natural state that he is condemned, that he is unrighteous, that he's living and abiding under the wrath of God, that if he dies as he's now living, that wrath will catch up with him. And what an awful price he will have to pay if he goes out into eternity without the Lord. And I want to say tonight, men and women, just to remind us all, that there is only one refuge, and it has been provided by God in the person of Jesus Christ. And just as these cities were accessible to the men around that area. Christ tonight is accessible to all who will come to him. And when you come to a church meeting like this, not only is he accessible, but you don't have to strain your eyes to see him. Because when we read the scripture together, we see him. We see him here in type in the cities of refuge long ago. Paul used, the Apostle Paul, when he was speaking, he used these cities of refuge. And remember, we're calling it an invaluable free city break. And that's what it was. Because you'll notice, and we will notice later on, the manslayer wasn't to stay there forever. And that brings a little change in our message, but we'll get to that later on. Paul the Apostle used these cities of refuge as an illustration when speaking of Christ and the sinner's hope over there in it's the book of Hebrews and chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. It says there that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, and the word lie there means to deceive or to disappoint. Men and women tonight, God will never deceive you. And he will not disappoint you. And he hasn't been a disappointment to those who have come to him. It says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. There are people here who, just in a meeting or two ago, they stood up in the meeting and they told how they had fled to that refuge. And how, in their lifetime, how they had fled to refuge and laid hold upon the hope that was sent before him. And of course, we're thinking of the Lord Jesus. He is our city of refuge. And tonight in Northern Ireland, there are people that you know and mine. And they are determined to put confidence in other refuges that really are no refuges at all. Do you remember what we said about this manslayer clinging to some little hiding place along the way, ammunition of rocks or something like that? That would avail him nothing. He had to get to the city. The city was the place that was appointed. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the most simple terms say, I am the way, singular, the truth and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, there's no obscurity in the gospel. And this city of refuge, these cities of refuge, and the possibility that lay before those who needed them desperately conveys to us tonight the possibility for you. Possibility for our loved ones that are not saved. Possibility for the neighborhoods in which we live and work. And what a possibility there is tonight, even if there's someone in the gathering or listening on sermon audio. What a possibility of finding genuine refuge. Finding a place where there's no condemnation. A place where there's no wrath abiding upon you. A place where there's no danger of eternal loss. A free and valuable city break. Possibility was very great here, and the possibility for the sinner tonight is great if they will come and trust the Lord. And you may say in the depths of your heart, well, I know that I need this refuge. But maybe not just tonight. Just want to remind you of what the Bible says. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Call upon him when he is near. You see Christ in the Word as you listen to it preached. You may think, well, I don't feel he's very near. Well, over there in the book of Acts 17 in the verse 27, I just read the verse. It says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him. And then listen to this. Though he be not far from every one of us, though he be not far from every one of us. Why not tonight? You know, if I can draw your attention again to the manslayer, he's went a bit, but he stopped short of the city, maybe even at the very gate of the city. He thought, well, now I'm within view of the city, and the avenger of blood coming after me, he will leave it at that. He'll pull back and he won't follow after me. He could perish at the very door. And men and women, you could perish at the gates of heaven. Someone said concerning Judas Iscariot, who kissed the Lord in the garden, he was a man who kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. And what an awful thing to be so near and yet so far. The possibility. But look again at these cities, and there's not only the possibility, but there's also the thought here of protection. We're thinking now of the manslayer. He's made it to one of the cities, and he's come in there, and the avenger of blood cannot harm him. And if you know this, the Bible, you will know that the time come when any available evidence would be heard. And if it is proved that the man who he killed lost his life indeed accidentally, then all condemnation is removed. All condemnation. This happens within the city. So therefore, he has a degree of well-being and protection in this city. And you could say in some sense that there is no charge in the books of judgment against him at all when the evidence is laid out. And so it is with those who come to Christ. Doesn't the Bible say there is therefore now no condemnation? I mentioned a few minutes ago that sinners in their natural state are under condemnation, the wrath of God abiding upon them. But the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And maybe people in those days, just a wee bit like us today, sometimes they found some way of arguing around the situation or pointing out how it couldn't possibly be just for them, or for they knew someone that it couldn't be for, and he had killed someone accidentally. Well, if you look with me at verse 15, it says, these six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel, that's one group of people, and for the stranger, that's another group, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And we take it into the realm tonight of your need. The gospel is offered to you. God's salvation is offered to you tonight. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever your background might be, provision has been made for you if you will come to him. The Bible says also, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that died. And we've entered another year after praying through 2018 for souls that we know, people that we love, people that we've prayed for now for many, many years. And we found in another year and they're still not saved. And it was, and this is just by the way, it was thoughts like that right away when I became a Christian. I mean, right away, within a week or 2 weeks, that drove me to the prayer meetings 32 years ago and still has me there. Because of the fact that they are in danger of eternal loss. And that's where you are, sinner, if you're not saved. But if you make it to the city, to Christ, and lay hold upon the hope set before you, then you will turn the possibility into protection. Because the Lord, you will be safe in him. It's a good number of years ago now, and Cherith will remember this, over in Bridlington, there was some people came to visit in the area. They were on holiday. There's a family there from Portadown that I knew. and they came along to the church on Sunday because they were holidaying in the area. And this lady came with them, who they were really pleased because she was married to a man from here and she was from Scotland. She was married to a man from Northern Ireland and they were living in Scotland and down holidaying in England, in Yorkshire where we were. And she came along and they were really pleased. But the next week, when they'd gone away home from their holidays, she came back again with her husband. And that was something that just never, ever happened to them. It's very pleasant and set through the meeting. And then the next week after that, they were holidaying for several weeks in their caravan. And the following week after that, she came back again on Sunday night. And I still remember going to the door. And just as we went to the door, she said, and there were other people listening to her. She didn't try to whisper or anything. She just said to me, "Reverend Salt," she said, I would like to speak with you if that's possible." And I said, "Certainly." She says, "I just want you to explain to me again how I can be saved, because I want to get saved now." And we had the joy on that occasion of leading that woman to the Lord. And when the people in Portadown heard that she had been saved, that was an answer to years and years and years of prayer. It was quite an unusual situation because she was able to come with people from Northern Ireland to a meeting in Bridlington and get saved and then go back and go to the work in Rutherglen in Scotland. But men and women, there's people who've been praying years and years for you. And you're still in danger of eternal loss. But if you have not found this protection that's in Christ alone, remember the possibility still lies before you. The city of refuge is still there. There's the possibility and then the protection, but there's also the provision. If you turn with me, please, to Joshua chapter 20, where we read the names of the cities there. This passage shows us that there was sufficiency for the cases of every single one that would come to these cities. Not only was death averted by reaching this city, but when they got there, they found comfort. Yes, there was protection, of course, but there was comfort and there was well-being. That was all provided for them. I'm thinking here of the names of these cities. And these cities, when you take them together or indeed individually, they point us and me and you tonight to the all-sufficiency of Christ to meet your every need if you do come to him. So wherever you are, maybe the possibilities land before you. You know you need to flee to Christ because the wrath of God abides upon you. And the clock is ticking. And the opportunities are disappearing. And you're in danger tonight of going out into the caverns of the lost forever as a Christ rejecter. And you even believe that there is protection if you come to him and you're... If you get to that point tonight, I want you to listen on, because here is the provision that is in Christ. Some people seem to get to that point and then there's a stumbling block because they think that maybe salvation won't be everything they expected it to be. Well, let's look at the names of them very briefly. You will see there in verse 7 that it says that they appointed Kadesh in Galilee. The word Kadesh there is a name that means holiness. And that is what the Lord Jesus does for sinners. He takes us from the pit of sin, from the awful natural state of our lostness. And when he saves us, he doesn't save us to gloss over what we were, but he saves us to holiness. Doesn't the hymn say, "The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives"? There's a good number here can say that's true, and I've experienced it. Kadesh reminds us that Jesus saves men to holiness. But if you look there at the other one, it's called Shechem. And this name Shechem means shoulder. And when you think of the shoulder, of course, that represents Christ in bearing the sins. Not only in bearing the sins of his people, but in carrying the sheep to the fold. It says in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." And we all know the story of the shepherd going out to find the sheep that was lost. Many tonight are crippled by sin. It's dominated their life for a long time now. And it's in control. And they can't do anything with it. But Christ is a great burden bearer. The hymn writer said, from a joyful heart, he took my sins and my sorrows and he made them his very own. And I wonder tonight, have you really come and put your faith and trust in him? Have you rested upon what he has done? And tonight, are you resting in him? Kadesh means Jesus saves to holiness. Shechem, the shoulder, representing Christ as the burden bearer. But Kirjath Arba, or Hebron, it means fellowship, or it actually carries the meaning of bringing two different parties that are opposed together and joining them together. The thought of fusing together too. Is that not the thought of healing a wound? If you fall and you cut your leg and you're split open, when you go down to the A&E, after about 10 hours, they will look at you and they'll maybe sew it together or stick it back together. And it brings the two sides together. That wasn't a criticism of the nurses, by the way. That was just a reference to their understaffing. But the healing of a wound, the bringing together. If nothing else tonight, men and women, you need to recognize that you're at enmity with God. There is an enmity there that only can be removed if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, it says there in verse 12, that at the time ye were, Paul here is writing to believers, he says, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Again, the thought is the same. Fusing together, made nigh. The healing of a wound. And what wound there is between sinful man and a holy God. I could tell you a story tonight, and time wouldn't permit to tell it all, of another man who had no time for evangelical preaching at all. He came under the sound of the gospel a few times. And then one night he went home and he couldn't sleep until he made his peace with God. Just a young man, so troubled about the sin wound, about the enmity between him and God. Another man, not overly far from here, his wife had been saved and he went out into the car. He got into the car and put the key in the ignition. And he said he couldn't go any further than that. Conviction gripped him. He realized he was a sinner. And he was out of fellowship with God. More than that, he was at enmity with God. But Kirjath Arba means fellowship. And that's where you come when you come as a sinner to Jesus. You come into fellowship with God. There's another city mentioned there. And it's a city called Bezer. And Bezer, the title or the name Bezer, means strong city, referring to that which is impregnable, that which is strong. And that is where you are when you come to Christ. It was Wesley who said, "Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee." He was in good place. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Apparently Wesley wrote that whenever he was in his study. A little bird flew in through the window that was being chased by a hawk. And it flew right into his arm. And he wrote the words, "Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee." You cannot perish tonight, men and women, unless Christ does, if you truly know him. He's the strong city. The now place here called Ramath, you see that in Joshua chapter 20 as well. Well, Ramath means high places. No less than five times. In the book of Ephesians, the heavenly and high places are mentioned. And on every occasion, it's where the Christian is when the man or woman has come and trusted the Savior. In high places or heavenly places in Christ. However low down you are tonight, and maybe you'd rather not talk about it, that's all right. The Lord knows. And I trust that you know enough to know you need it dealt with. You need it dealt with. God is able to reach down into the gutter and to make you a trophy of grace and place you in high and heavenly places in Christ. There's one other place there, it's called Golan. And Golan means joy. What good would salvation be in this life if it didn't bring joy to our hearts? And Christ is the joy of his people. You see, the message of the gospel, which basically is covered by the names of these cities, it's a message of hope, but it's also a message of joy. And it brings before us, very briefly tonight, we have noted, it brings before us the provision that there is in Christ. What a blessing these cities were. How they were indeed a free, invaluable city to those who would come to them. And you tonight, in a sense, can have a very free, invaluable city in Christ, because the price for our redemption has been paid. You and I have nothing to add to his great work. It's free to all who will come. It is invaluable because it is your only hope of escape from eternal wrath. But men and women, as I finish, you have to come. You have to come. Constantly the Lord Jesus himself said, come unto me. And one time he was lamenting and he said, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. How many people could he say that to tonight? Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Do trust that the Lord will bless his word to your heart and use it to draw you to himself, and that you will find tonight in Christ the protection and the provision that the possibility before you will afford to you if you will come and trust the Saviour.